We are looking at Hebrews. We've been in there for some time. We'll continue to do so, even though as we approach this morning's message, it's from the 13th chapter. We've been looking at encouragements most recently, those encouragements that are found in the book of Hebrews. We couldn't list them all. There are many more than I could possibly outline or preach, but some of them are before you. We've preached the encouragement of the blood of Jesus, the Word of God, the throne of grace, the rest that God gives us. And this morning, we're talking about the sacrifice of praise. So open your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, as we look at this important issue. It is the last chapter of the book. That doesn't mean we're finished. It doesn't mean anything. It just means it's the last chapter of the book, and I'm doing things out of sequence here so that we look at encouragements. As we look at this morning, it's important for us to see that the apostle has left this exhortation, this encouragement to the church, toward the very last of the letter. Hebrews 13:15, I'm reading from the New King James, and it says this. Therefore, now pause right there. He says, therefore. Every time you read in Scripture the word therefore, you have to look for why the therefore is there. What is it therefore? And it's always a logical conclusion to something that was previously said. To understand the whole import, the whole push of this, you have to go back to chapter 11. When he gives us that whole magnificent view of faith and what faith is, and then he lists all the mighty men of God, women of God, and how they triumphed through faith. They overcame all kinds of obstacles. They went through all kinds of torments, and they came out the other side, and they shone brightly. Chapter 12, he starts that conclusion of therefore. Therefore, because of all of this faith and God's faithfulness and the exalted position of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should run the race with patience that is set before us. A little while later in chapter 12, he says, therefore, the same thing, therefore, because we're running this race, because of what Jesus has done for us, and because we're believing God, therefore, we ought to lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees, and we ought to continue and put aside roots of bitterness and get ourselves right with God. He goes on through the chapter, and he keeps drawing more conclusions, and then he finishes chapter 12 with a mighty conclusion, and you think he's done. He enters into chapter 13, as most apostles do, with a rat-a-tat-a-tat-a, a machine gun exhortation of this, that, and the other. He talks about marriage. He talks about money. He talks about hospitality. In the first 8 verses, it seems like he's done. He's going to stop. He's just like any other preacher. The preacher's looking at his watch. The little boy says, Daddy, what's that mean? Dad says, doesn't mean a thing. Doesn't mean a thing that the apostle is approaching the end here. He's got more to say. And as he comes to the end of verse 8 of chapter 13, it seems like the Spirit of God is pushing through him to give him one final, last conclusion of this whole matter. And so that's what we have before us. I'm going to read verses 9 through 17. Do not be carried about with various strange doctrines, for it is good for the heart to be established with grace, not with foods which have not profited those that have been occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For we have no continuing city, but seek one to come. Verse 15. This is our verse. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And I've included in that giving thanks or confessing. And we'll see later that word there is the word to confess, not the word thanks to his name. The conclusion is, therefore, by him, that is, by Jesus, therefore, by Jesus, we ought to give the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips and the confession of Jesus' name, and we ought to do it continually. I want you to look at 3 things that are in the passage this morning. That beginning part of that verse is amazing to me, because as you study behind the scenes of the English, you look at the original language. And the original language actually has 2 therefores at the beginning of the sentence. Therefore, therefore would be the literal translation. Therefore, therefore, by him, by Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise. He's drawing a conclusion. In the Greek, there are at least four words used in Hebrews for the word therefore. Here we have two of them used. One means on account of. And that would mean that we could translate this to say, on account of Him, on account of Jesus and what He has done for us, as we sum total everything that's written in this book about the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, on account of Him, we ought to continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. God wants us to do three things here in this passage. The first is offer the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice that's given to God. The second is the fruit of our lips. Your lips have some fruits to give. And finally, the confession of the name of the Lord. We're going to look at each one of those, and each one is important for the understanding of what He is saying we ought to do. First of all, we look at the offer of the sacrifice to God. That is, sacrifices to God are in order. He has used the Old Testament as examples throughout this book of Hebrews. He has used the tabernacle and the altar and the incense and everything else that was in the Old Testament to help us understand the truths of what God has given to us. That is important for us to understand this idea of sacrifice. What is it to offer a sacrifice, or what is the sacrifice that we offer? It is the sacrifice of praise. See, we're not involved in offering blood sacrifices. That's been done. Jesus died on the cross. He shed His precious blood once for all. That's never going to happen again. It is for you and for me, and all we need to do is trust Him to save us and wash us from our sins in His precious blood. And He will do that. But what He's talking about here is a sacrifice that we give to God. In order to understand this fully, we need to understand something about the Old Testament sacrificial system. In the Old Testament, He describes this in Hebrews concerning the tabernacle and all the elements that were in the tabernacle. See, the tabernacle was their church. It was the place that was built in the wilderness for people to worship God. And there were set ways in which people were to approach God in that tabernacle. There were the outer gates, then you came into the court, and then you had the altar of burning sacrifices, then you had the incense, and you got in and got into the actual building, into the holy place, and then finally into the Holy of Holies. And there was a big curtain across the doorway in that Holy of Holies. And only the priest could go in once a year to intercede on behalf of the people. That is important for us to understand. There is a process by which we get into the presence of God. You see, all of the Old Testament covenant, all of these illustrations, He said, were shadows of things in heaven. God was teaching us principles of how we come into the presence of God. And so there is a way to come into God's presence. In the Psalms, there are Psalms called Psalms of Ascent. It's Psalm 120 to 134. All of these psalms were what people sang as they approached the tabernacle or temple, as they approached entering into the gates of the Lord. Look with me quickly to Psalm 100 that seems to most appropriately express this approach in the sacrifice of praise. Psalm 100, it's a short psalm, but it has powerful truths to it that we need to apply. For these are principles given to us in the Old Testament that follow through the New Testament and on into heaven. Psalm 100 says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." Let's see if you can do that. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Oh, I don't know if that's very good. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. It didn't say just make a noise. Make a joyful noise. That joyful noise is not just saying amen. If it's not a joyful amen, it's not an amen. If it's not a joyful hallelujah, it's not a joyful hallelujah. It's just a word. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God, is He that made us and not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Here it is. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. You saw the picture. Entering into the tabernacle, you come through the gates where the fence is around. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and then into His courts with praise. Then he repeats it. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. I think that's a wonderful passage. It helps us to understand what this offering to God is that he's talking about. We as God's people, New Testament believers, we are born again. We are part of God's family. But the principle still applies to us. We are to come into God's presence with thanksgiving and then with praise of His name. And as we do that, we find the joy of the Lord and the strength of the Lord in His presence. This morning, we worship the Lord here in this tabernacle, in this church. But not everybody worshiped. Not everybody participated or brought a sacrifice of praise or thanksgiving. Many people that come to church just sit. And I wish I had a camera up here to show everybody just sitting. When you come into the presence of the Lord, you are to bring a sacrifice. The Old Testament says, let none but no one come before the Lord empty-handed. No one should come empty-hearted either. We should bring a praise offering to the Lord, something that we are giving to God and surrendering to Him as thankfulness and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is an important principle of Scripture here, that God is saying we as believers have a sacrifice to give to God, and that is the sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise. Second thing I look at in this offering of sacrifice is that we should give this sacrifice even when we don't feel like it. Even when we don't feel like it. That's what makes it a sacrifice. Most of us have an Oscar the Grouch living inside of us. Most of us have some attitudes that need to be corrected. Most of us come into the presence of the Lord with our baggage rather than our praise and our thanksgiving. You know Oscar the Grouch from Sesame Street? I've noticed in the evolution of Oscar the Grouch over the years. In the 70s, he came out, he had a really grouchy face. He was grouchy all the time. Now they're making him kind of less grouchy and a little more happy. But the original, I think, was really great because he showed us what we're like. Too many believers look and sound more like Oscar the Grouch with many excuses and reasons why they should or should not be happy in Jesus. Are you an Oscar the Grouch? I've pastored for about 38 years now, and every church I've been in, every church has its Oscars. Are you one of them? That means an Oscar the Grouch sits in church and does not worship. Oh, we're worshiping, and those of us that are coming before the Lord with thanksgiving in our hearts and praise to the Lord, we're involved, and we're offering a sacrifice of praise. But there's others that are in the congregation that are doing nothing. They're just standing there. I wish I could sit down. How long is this going to go on? Oh, I wish they'd get to the preaching. Actually, I wish that would get over so I can go home and eat lunch. You see, they're nowhere involved in worship. There's no sacrifice of praise or thanksgiving going on. It is an ignorance of what is supposed to happen. In every church, we have people that will stand when it's worship time, and that's all they do is they stand. And you watch them, and they're not worshiping. They're just standing around looking. That is not worship. Hello? A donkey can do that. I was going to call him by the other name, but I'll get in trouble. A donkey can do that. See, God has called on us to enter in. You're slow, but you're getting it. God has called us to enter into His presence. That means you, me, our hearts need to enter in, not just in our body, but in our spirits, to enter in before His presence with thanksgiving and praise. There's a sacrifice to that. I'll tell you, I'm an Oscar the Grouch. Ask my wife. She knows. I can be really grumpy. So can you. We can tell stories about you, too. And there's sometimes I don't feel like worshiping. I don't feel like being happy. And there's times when I don't want anybody to make me happy. I just want to be mad. And I get frustrated over that. Lord, I've walked with You all these years. How come I still have that? He said, that's the old nature. That old nature needs to be sacrificed on the altar. And we bring the sacrifice of praise. That means I'm getting myself off the throne and I'm laying myself before the Lord. That sacrifice was depicted in the Old Testament covenant in that tabernacle as the incense, the altar of incense, that they burned the incense before the Lord and they came up to God. And in the Revelation, it says that incense is the prayers of the saints. You know, before you come into worship, you need to pray and ask the Lord to kill Oscar the Grouch, to kill the old nature, You lay that thing on the altar and say, Lord, I'm not feeling good today. I don't feel like blessing anybody, much less you. But I'm going to lay this on the altar and I'm going to bring you the thanks that's due your name. I'm going to bring you praise because you are worthy. You know, we should bring the sacrifice of praise. It is a sacrifice when we don't feel like it. There are a couple reasons why people don't feel like worshiping. And they excuse themselves on many of these. I've heard them all. I'm naturally shy, so I don't worship. I'm not emotional, so I don't raise my hands or clap or move my body or do anything. I am a reserved person. I come from British ancestry. I am not a happy or joyful person. Therefore, I worship the Lord inside. I am a serious, thoughtful person. I'm an intellectual. My friend, all of those are excuses. Because you're lying. You are not an intellectual. You are an emotional human being like everybody else. Except when you go to church, you cut it off. I'll tell you how. When you go to a Steelers game or you watch them on TV and they're headed for the Super Bowl. Now, I would have used the Pirates, but I can't get real excited about them. When you see the Steelers and the Iron Curtain is just barreling over all of the other teams, you're sitting in your living room and maybe nobody else is there, but then they go in for that final touchdown and the quarterback throws it and the end runs out there and he leaps and with his fingertips he grabs the ball and pulls it in and tucks it under and rolls still in bounds to win the touchdown. Guess what you do? You just stand there and go, I'm an intellectual. I'm a non-emotional person. Good for the Steelers. You don't do that. You know what you do. You go, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, you run around the room. Nobody's there, but you're all, we won. Hey, you're not on the team. We won. We won. And you're getting all excited. But when you come to church, no excitement. Because that would be wrong. I'm not an emotional person. I'm an intellectual. I'm British. My friend, you're a liar. Because you are emotional. But you have turned off the emotional spigot in worship. You have deliberately said, no, I will not enter in. I will observe. That's why the apostle is coming here. He saw it in his church too. And he says, let us therefore, because of who Jesus is, because of all these wonderful and spectacular things I have described about the Lord Jesus and who he is and what he's done for you. Therefore, because of this, because of who he is, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. There's no excuse that stands before the throne of God. There are excuses and then people give us reasons why they don't worship. I've heard those two. Usually it's three, and I'm part of that. When I'm not feeling like worship, it's usually because I feel cheated. I'm disappointed in something. God didn't answer my prayer. Or God didn't bail me out. And I'm not happy at the moment, so I feel cheated. And that rides on the back of feeling that God's promises aren't always true, and I'm really questioning it. And that rides on piggyback on the back of that one, and it says, and I wonder if God really loves me. You know, those three things. I feel cheated. I'm not sure the promises of God are true. And I'm not sure that God really loves me. Those things will douse worship in every church service. Because your eyes are not on the Lord. They are on you and your felt needs and not on the King of Glory. My friends, when we get to heaven, and I'm assuming you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you know Him, you're going to heaven. Your name is written in heaven. When you get into heaven, all these excuses and all these reasons are going to fall flat. And you're going to fall flat too. You know what the Scripture says? Every time in heaven when they saw the Lamb standing before the throne, they all fell down on their faces and they worshipped Him with a loud voice and they said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come." Woo! They were emotional. I don't care who you are. British. Or something else. When you stand before the Lord God Almighty, you are going to see Jesus in all His splendor and you're going to get emotional. You're going to say, "No, I thought there were sections for Baptists and sections for charismatics in heaven." No, there aren't. We're all going to be mixed in together and we're all going to have the same sense because all the inhibitions go out the window. The only one who rejoices when you don't praise the Lord is the devil. Because he doesn't either. My friends, I don't want to be on his side. I don't want anything in common with him. So he says, we should give the sacrifice of praise even when we don't feel like it, because Satan's the only one that refuses to give God glory. There's a third thing in this sacrifice to God, and that is we sacrifice this offering of praise to God even when circumstances are against us. When circumstances are bad, we offer this praise because God is not our circumstances. God is God and Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ. He is victor forever and ever, regardless of what's happening in my life. That means when those bad circumstances happen, and they will, Scripture says so. Man is born for trouble as the sparks fly upward. Bad things are going to happen. But listen, God says in the middle of those bad things, you can worship the Lord. Look with me quickly. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 34. The author is writing to these Hebrew Christians who are going through great persecutions. I got a little book here called Fox's Book of Martyrs. Every Christian ought to read that. That was one of the best-selling books for many hundreds of years. Now hardly anybody reads it. But it details the life of Christians from the time of Christ all the way into the present, who have suffered and died for their faith. And every one of those people died praising the Lord in the middle of that conflict. These Hebrew Christians were going through great adversity. Many of them were being enslaved by the Roman Empire. They were being put into prison. Their children were taken away from them. Many of the children sold into slavery. Wives and husbands were separated, and they were sold into slavery. Some were taken into the arenas in Nero's day, and they were thrown to the lions. Others were thrown into the arena with dogs that would devour them. Some were put up like candles and lit and burned to death in the stadiums. But all of them gave the same testimony. "He is worthy of my praise. And though you slay me, yet will I trust him." You see, circumstances cannot douse true worship. Because worship is not about your circumstances or about your blessings. It's about the Lord and who He is and how great He is. Hebrews 10:34 says this. Paul's writing and he says, "For you had compassion on me and my bonds," talking about his imprisonment, "and you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and a more enduring substance." You see, we should praise God in the middle of bad circumstances because God didn't change. And His desires, His promises toward us and our relationship to Him didn't change either. All right, let's go to point number two. Sacrifice of praise, number one. Number two is the fruit of our lips. Give me a moment to look at you. You all have lips. I want everybody to take their lips and go like this. Oh, now I know you love me. We all have lips, and there's one person in charge of your lips. You. Nobody else can make those lips do what you don't want them to do. You're in charge of your lips. That's a wonderful principle. Write it down in a book and go, "Boy, that was profound. I'm in charge of my lips." That's what he's saying here. The fruit of your lips should be given to God because you're in charge of those lips. Look with me at James. James comes right after Hebrews. You're in the last chapter. Just move it over to James chapter 3. And he talks about the tongue. And he goes through the whole thing. The tongue is like a wildfire. It's like a horse that can't be bridled. It's all of these things. And he comes to verses 9 and 10, James chapter 3. And he says, "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow freely from the same spring? My brothers, can fig trees bear olives? Can grapevines bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. His point is this: your lips express what's inside. Your lips betray you. When you come into the house of God or you come before the Lord's presence in your own time of worship and there's no praise, it's because something's rotten in Denmark. Something inside has died. Some root has become defiled and it's bringing up its vile bile up into your lips. And your lips refuse to praise because it doesn't feel good. My friend, your lips are in charge of either echoing God's praise and giving Him glory or cursing God. What do you do with your lips? There are a lot of Christians that sit in churches and do nothing with their lips except sit. Maybe chew their gum. But they offer no praise to the Lord. Let me speak to you from a pastor's heart. Let me speak to you from a man who someday will stand in heaven and look down. I think I'll look down on earth and say, I don't want to look down on the congregation. Because when Jesus Christ, my Savior, is exalted and I've been before Him in the throne of heaven, and I look back and I see men and women who claim to be Christians not worshiping with their lips, it will make me mad. And I will become zealous for the Lord. My friends, God has given you lips to glorify God, not to curse men. Those lips are in your control and you can do with them what you want. One more passage, Matthew chapter 12. Jesus spoke of the same thing. Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 to 37, He says, make the tree good and its fruit will be good, or make the tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. There you have it. Out of the overflow of your heart, your mouth speaks. Your mouth only flows out what's inside. And as you come to the Lord and you come into His presence, you are, and I am, to praise His name and to give the fruit that's inside, which should be blessing and not cursing. It should be good things and not bad things. All of us will be judged for these lips. Jesus said as He went on in that passage, in the day of judgment, everyone will give an account for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words, you will be acquitted. And by your words, you will be condemned. Let me challenge you with this. Have your lips exonerated you? Have your lips accused you as one who is bitter and angry and stubborn and not obedient to God's word? Or have your lips shown the praises of the Lord Jesus Christ? Last thing about lips is that your worship also will be judged. Your lips will be judged, but our worship will be judged as well. The Lord knows our hearts. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable worship. That's the proper interpretation. That is, your reasonable worship when you come to God is to present your body to Him. Yes, you present your lips, that's part of your body, but your whole body belongs to the Lord, and we should be worshiping the Lord with our whole body, our lips included. Now, when He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, I know that not everybody can sing. Not everybody has a good voice. I used to attend church with a friend of mine for a couple of years. We moved to a small town and a small church, and he sat beside me, and he sang a monotone. That's all he could sing is one note. Literally, he would say, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. And it was monotone. I was sitting next to him. I picked it up and I sang monotone too. We were a duet singing monotone with no harmony at all. And we sat in that church and we sang that way. And I just sang. I was worshiping the Lord, but it was a noise. I don't know how joyful, but it was a noise. And it wasn't pleasing to me and it wasn't pleasing to anybody else. And I hope it was pleasing to God. But my brother had a great voice, and he used to sing in the high school choir. He sang on stage, and he sang on the radio, and he was singing secular songs. And I went to bed one night and said, Lord, I don't have any gifts. I don't have any abilities. But Lord, if you give me a voice, I will sing for you. I will use that voice to glorify you. I will lay down this body and say, Lord, I give it as a sacrifice to you. That night I had a dream. And in the dream, there was music going on. And for the first time in my life, I heard harmonies. I heard the music, and it had more than one note. It was phenomenal. And I woke up from that dream and I thought, wow, that was cool. I actually heard music. I actually heard the harmony of voices and stuff. That's cool. I walked in the kitchen where my mom always had Christian radio on. And it was on and it was playing music. And I walked into that room and I thought, whoa, I can hear the harmonies. I can hear multiple voices singing different notes, but it all blends together. That was a miracle. I couldn't hear that before. And then I started to sing along with it. And guess what? I wasn't a monotone anymore. I could sing the songs. When I went to worship after that, I couldn't stand standing next to my friend. Because God gave me a gift of singing to Him. Why? Because I gave my body to the Lord. I said, Lord, this body is for You. I want to glorify You. And specifically, I want to glorify You in this voice. And God did that miracle for me. A lot of you have bodies. All of you have bodies. You have one. Only one. Some good, some bad, some talented, some not. He didn't ask for the talented only to give their bodies a living sacrifice, but everyone to give your body to serve and to praise God. You can praise God with your body by working in the nursery. You can praise God with your body by singing in the choir. You can praise God with your body by shoveling snow or doing some other manual labor. But while you're doing it, because you're doing it as a sacrifice to God, you're going to have that flow of the Spirit that's going to be singing praises to the Lord while you serve Him in that way. Lastly, there's the word confess His name. I want to read for you a passage from Philippians chapter 2. Because in this passage of Hebrews 13:15, it talks about that confession or that thanksgiving to His name. That is not a good translation, thanksgiving to His name. When I look behind the scenes to see the Greek word thanksgiving is not there. The word is confess His name or confessing to His name. It has nothing to do with thanksgiving directly, only indirectly. So the proper translation is giving thanks, yes, but confessing His name, saying it out loud. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. Wherefore God has also highly exalted Him. That's the word that is used in Hebrews. It's a word that puts a little exclamation at the front, a prefix on it that says X. X. And then it says the word praise or exalt. Super exalted. Therefore God has super exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee would bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue, there we go with tongues again, every tongue would confess, and that means super exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. The word exalt or confess the Lord Jesus is used in Hebrews. And here in this passage, he bumps it up another notch and he puts the X on the front of it and says, that is going to be praise that really super exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about the difference between the word claim, where you got a claim check and you walk up and say, I think you have my coat, here's my claim check. And when you exclaim and you've got the winning lottery ticket, you don't walk up to the desk and say, I think this is my ticket. No, when you exclaim, you're emotionally involved and you confess it. You tell what is true and you say, I have the winning ticket. Yeah! Or whatever else you do when you're excited. Oh, I forgot. You're British. And you don't get excited. Now, here it says, every knee will bow and every tongue. Everybody stick out your tongue for a moment. I know it's the end of the sermon. You want to do that anyway. Stick out your tongue. Stick out your tongue. Put your finger on it. A dirty finger. Not your friend's finger, your finger. That's your tongue. You own it. And God says someday every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, including Satan, will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The word there is he will super exalt. He will humble himself and say, you are exalted above all. Oh, that is going to be a phenomenal day when Satan has to go, they're super exalted. He'll spit and sputter, but he'll say it because Jesus is exalted. My friends, we get the privilege of doing that now. We offer the sacrifice of praise. We willingly spit it out and say, Lord, you are super exalted with everything in me. I exalt your name. Let me give you some practicals on that. How can you exalt the name of the Lord? His name is Jehovah hyphen something all through Scripture. You could take these and if you are If you are needy, He is your provider, Jehovah Jireh. If you need protection, He is your protector, Jehovah Nissi, our banner. If you need healing, He is Jehovah Rapha, our healer. If you need peace, He is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord of peace. If you are lost, He is Jehovah Rophi, our shepherd. If you are not feeling righteous, He is Jehovah Sidkenu, which means He is our righteousness. If you feel alone, He is Jehovah Shema, the God who is always present. If you are tired of waiting for that answer to prayer, He is Jehovah Elohim, the everlasting God. If you feel unholy, He is Jehovah Mekadesh, which means God who makes us holy. When you confess the name of the Lord and exalt Him, you pray and you exalt Him with a loud voice. The word here for exhortation always, when you exalt Him or confess Him, is with an audible voice. Always. There is no New Testament word for silently worshiping the Lord, except where Paul says, making melody in your heart to the Lord. But every other confession is made unto salvation. It's with a voice out loud. You see, God wants us to say the name of the Lord out loud and claim it. And say, yes, Lord, You are Jehovah Rapha. You are my healer. Lord, You are my provider. Jehovah Jireh, I exalt You and I praise You. You see, taking hold of the name of the Lord and declaring it is to confess His name with thanksgiving. And He hears and He blesses those that do. Let me conclude with a couple facts here. We'll be done in just a moment. Fact number one, every time you praise the Lord with an audible voice, not just in thought, Satan trembles. Every time. Contrarywise, every time you grumble, complain, or murmur, Satan smiles and is satisfied. He wins. Number two, every time you give heartfelt thanks to the Lord, you tread on or crush the head of the serpent Satan. Contrary, when you complain and grouch and murmur and grumble, you give place to the devil. Number three, every time you speak any audible word, heaven is listening and heaven is recording. That's amazing. Every time you come into the sanctuary and worship God with an audible voice, and it's real worship, it's real sacrifice given to God, God is recording that. He's noting it. Therefore, the psalmist says, let my words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in Your sight, O Lord. Number four, every time you sing to the Lord, you exalt His name and heaven sings with you. The angels accompany you. That's amazing. We are a church of worship that's deliberate because we begin with prayer. That's the first priority we've set. The second is worship. We need to be a worshiping people who worship God in spirit and in truth. God has anointed our worship. I really sensed that this morning as we were worshiping. But there have been other times where it seems like heaven comes down and the presence of the Lord is tangible. You can almost reach out and touch Him. There was a service where we were worshiping. I remember I was sitting in that seat and I was worshiping the Lord in that service. You were praising the Lord so loud you could hardly hear the instruments. And as I was worshiping the Lord and praising Him, I sensed the presence of the Lord. I opened my eyes and I saw the cloud of glory on the platform. And I, oh, wow, Lord, this is awesome. This is awesome. The service finished and after it was all over, Pam Prentice came up to me after everybody had gone away. And she said, Pastor, I've never had this happen before, but while we were worshiping on the platform, I saw angels around us worshiping and praising the Lord together. And I said, hallelujah. Because that's what I saw. That's what I witnessed in the Spirit. I saw the Lord was accompanying us with angels. My friends, if you know that God is going to accompany your worship, you're going to worship in spirit and truth. You're going to lift up praises to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to fill this temple. But when you sit there and go, no, I am not going to worship Him. You know, you're inviting all the demons of hell to come in and worship with us the way they worship. And how do they worship? They will not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. They will not give Him thanks. They will not exalt Him. This morning I want to make a commitment to the Lord because I am Oscar the Grouch. My old nature is still there, and that old nature, Oscar the Grouch, comes up and rises up and says, don't praise the Lord today. Just sit around and sulk for a while. You know, God says no.
Psalm 34, 1-3. I'm going to put it up on the screen. And I'm going to tell you what it says because it is what Scripture says we ought to be doing. It agrees with this passage we're looking at. It's the Old Testament example of this passage. Psalm 34, 1-3 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Get it? It's very personal. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And then the invitation to everybody else. And now let us exalt the Lord together. That is very personal. I want to be that man who blesses the Lord at all times. I want His praise to continually be in my mouth, not just at church. I want my soul to make its boast in the Lord, not about other things. And I want everyone to hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me is what I want when I come to church. The invitation to all to worship Him. The invitation this morning is, if that's your prayer, as it is my prayer, then we're going to say this psalm together. And as you say it with me as your prayer, Lord, this is what I want. I want to be one who blesses you. I want to one who continually has praise in his mouth. I want to be excited about the Lord, and I want to magnify you together. I'm going to ask you to stand as you say it with me. Here we go. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Let us exalt His name and live a life of praise.